Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Margaret and I, in a recent session that we had where we had somebody on to share their testimony, Pastor Margaret and I realized that we had testimonies of our own, stories of our own of God's faithfulness that we could share. So Pastor Margaret, if you'd just like to start out talking about your thoughts on what led to today's broadcast.
Yeah, I think sometimes as we go through life and we have seasons of hardship and then life happens, sometimes we forget what, you know, it's not that we've totally forgotten, but we just, it's kind of in the back of our minds why we trust the Lord because of his faithfulness to our past. And for me, you know, even before I was a believer, God performed a miracle in our daughter Sydney's life, which began to draw me into thinking more about the Lord because I didn't give him a lot of thought in those days. And so, but that's been a few years ago. And so as we were having that conversation recently, just realizing, going back and actually talking off the podcast, we took a break and during the podcast we're going, wait a minute, you know, we have stories too about what God has done in our life early on before Grayson, you or I was a believer. God performed
right.
a miracle.
Yes.
That has to do with the faith that we have today. And, you know, in scripture, in 1 Peter 3:15, and I think that we both have it in a different translation, but you and I both had pulled up the same scripture this morning. And it's 1 Peter 3:15 in the Passion Translation says, if anyone asks about the living hope within you, always be ready to explain your faith with gentleness and respect. And I think that is so important that we, when we are going to share our story, and we should share it, and that's why we're doing this today,
right.
because we feel like we want
right.
to encourage people to not forget what God done long ago is still
right.
part of our story.
Right.
But we need to do that in a way that is with gentleness and respect because this is a sacred story.
Right.
This is about the holy ground of our life.
Right.
Even before we came to Christ, Christ was pursuing us, right?
Yes.
We believe that in our theology that God pursues us. It's called prevenient grace and that he consistently through our life draws us. And so today we're going to share some of our story and we want to do that with gentleness and respect, right? It actually, our story is connected to someone else's story.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah. For both of us.
For both of us. There are other people that are connected to our story. So we want to not only do this in respect to the person and gentleness to the person we're talking to, but we also want to respect those that are a part of our story, right? Like
right.
we want to
right. Right.
be respectful in all aspects when we're sharing our faith. And we need to make sure that the person that we're talking to really wants to hear it. You know, that's important to me.
We got to know not to share too much, I would say. Share what's appropriate, what would make sense, especially to a non-believer. You would share it in a way
right.
that would draw them to Christ, not draw them to us and the power of our story, but Christ through our story.
Yeah.
That Christ shines through
yeah,
our story.
Yeah, it's not. The story is never about us, but it's about God working in ways that are undeniable to us.
Right.
So we have to be prepared if anyone asks about the hope we have.
Right.
We need to be ready to explain that.
Right.
And there's such power in sharing our story, but just this idea of making sure that we're doing it in a way that brings honor to everyone involved.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's the Lord, the fact that he gave us both the same passage today, 1 Peter 3:15-16. And, well, the original translation I read, I'm not sure what it was because it was out of a devotional, but I looked it up in New Living Translation, and it says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it, but do it in a gentle and respectful way. So the worship part really stuck out to me. Instead, you must worship Christ and be ready to give an answer about the hope that you have. Yeah. That's why we're sharing our testimony, is to explain the hope. And I think we've probably talked about this on the broadcast before, about why we share testimony. Mm-hmm. And one of those reasons is because somebody might be able to try to dispute something in the Bible or in history, but they can't dispute our personal testimony of how God has worked in and through our lives and in and through people that are in our lives.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I think that it is, we can, when we share our testimony, it's important that our life adds up to what we're sharing. And so when I back up and look at verse 15 in the Passion Translation, it says, but give reverent honor in your hearts to the Anointed One and treat him as the Holy Master of your lives. And if anyone asks about the hope living within you, always be ready to explain your faith with gentleness and respect. And you're right. I jumped in the middle. But it is that reverent honor in our hearts. Like, that's not while we're telling our story, but it's how we're living our life. Right. And, you know, working in recovery, people a lot of times will come in and go, well, you know what? I've changed, but nobody will believe me. And I'll go back to that old, you know, I shouldn't say old, but the saying of your dad, Pastor Carey, he would say, you know, longevity is the great convincer. And so this is what this is about, is people seeing the Lord working in our lives. You know, someone said to me when they started attending this church and they found out I was a pastor, they had a conversation with their wife that they didn't tell me about until 2 years later. And I was visiting the wife in the hospital. The husband was there. And he said, I need to tell you something. Now, this was 2 years after they had started attending here. And he said, when we started attending the church and realized you were a pastor, I said, well, if she's a pastor, I can't go to that church. And he said, but now what I've realized after 2 years, that if God can change you, he can change anybody.
Yeah.
That is that longevity. If I would have told him my story that day, I doubt seriously that he would have believed me, because he knew me from my past. And I didn't always tell the truth. And I wasn't a great person. Like, I just wasn't. My life was a mess. And so longevity was the great convincer for him to see that the Lord had changed me. And if we are believers, there should be transformation, right? It's
you
the
don't
rest
just
of our
talk
life.
The talk, you walk the walk.
Yeah, but I didn't know all of the changes that happened. And I can see that in other people now, and I'll say, man, you've changed so much. And they go, what are you talking about? Because it's more evident to the people around us sometimes if we have or if we haven't changed. But it does, we're called to obviously give honor, give glory to God with our lives. And then if that happens and someone is questioning why we, you know, about our story, we have to be ready. We talk a lot about having that elevator speech, like be able to share about the Lord, what he's done in your life in an elevator ride.
Right.
That's
5 minutes.
Not even, you can have the longer story,
right,
but sometimes we have very short windows of time to share hope. What does that look like to take our life and share it with someone that we are going to, maybe we're standing in line somewhere. Maybe it depends. Like, but just having that beginning conversation, well, let me tell you, and 2 to 3 minutes even, but then be prepared to share more, because they'll probably ask you a question.
And Pastor Margaret, you know, it's both. It's being ready for the 5-minute conversation, but it's also being ready. Like you said, the couple that had started attending this church and 2 years later. So it's both. It's living it in the long run to let people know that our life matches what we say, the change that's happened. But it's also being ready to have those short conversations with people we might not know, we might run into. And when you were talking about the story with the man that told you 2 years later that he couldn't attend this church because you were a pastor here, well, I think when the Apostle Paul got saved, there were probably plenty of people that thought the same about him. But, you know, he wrote most of the New Testament. So
And that's the thing. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about living for him and allowing him to transform our life. But today we want to talk specifically the part of our lives God showed up and worked out miracles before we said yes to Jesus. You couldn't even talk.
No, I was 4 months old.
Right. So why don't you share with us a little bit of your story, what that looked like from what you've been told, right?
So when I was born, as far as my parents were aware and everybody was aware, I was a healthy baby. But when I was about 4 months old, I started having some issues, I think keeping milk down and different stuff. And so they sent me to Greenville. We were living in Beaufort, North Carolina at the time. So they sent me to Greenville Hospital, which was Children's Hospital there for North Carolina. And they found out that I had what they called hydrocephalic seal or waterhead. So they had to put a shunt, which was a fairly new thing. Then I think actually the doctor that was at that hospital might have even invented the shunt or had something like that. He had a son that had a issue. But anyway, I don't want to get into the details and miss the main point. Anyway, they took me to the hospital and the doctors told my parents, prepare to lose your son. And so mom stayed at the hospital with me. I think dad ran home to get some clothes and stuff. Well, he knew that God had a call to ministry, to full-time ministry on his life, and he was kind of resisting it or fighting it or whatever the word is. And he said when he went home to get the stuff they needed to come back to the hospital, he said right there at the house, he put his head down between the cushions and he said, Lord, you know, you can have my son, but don't take your presence from me. And I will preach the gospel. And it wasn't like, if you save my son, I'll preach the gospel. It's one way or the other, I will preach the gospel. Yeah. Well, I'm here. So obviously he gave me back to my parents, so to speak. He let me live. I also mentioned that in the recording that we were doing with a person that because of the shunt they put in my head, it's on the right side, so it affected my fine motor skills on my left side, most noticeably my left arm. You don't notice it on my left leg because I walk, but I said, you know, if I have to deal with this little bit of thorn in the flesh, suffering, whatever it is, it's worth it because, well, first of all, I'm here.
That's right.
I might not be here, but also it is what caused Dad to surrender to the call of God on his life, which in turn has impacted many other lives for the gospel and for the kingdom.
Yeah. You know, you have some effects of that, but you're here. And not only did God call your dad, and that pivotal moment in his life of surrender, where he could have been mad and why God, he didn't do that. He surrendered either way. I am giving, I am consecrating my life and I'm answering the call to preach the gospel. And that's impacted your life.
Yes.
You know, you now give your life for ministry.
And that's a whole new story.
And you're sharing hope with others. And it's interesting because sometimes when we're here talking about other people, we don't think about the things that happened that got us to the table. And so today, I think that's really what this is about, is even looking back beyond our salvation and realizing that God was at work to bring us to this table. And that maybe this has to do with why story is so important to us. But I think most everyone knows that I grew up Order of Mennonite and I flew the coop, so to speak, and really did not have a lot of or any desire to be a part of a church. I was living in a way that was not honoring of the Lord. And I can look back and I can see increments in places in my life where there was a shift. And there were some things that I dealt with in my life when I don't need to be doing this anymore. And it led to Steve and I getting married. And Sydney was about 13 months old. I was expecting Olivia, was 3 months pregnant, and Sydney was sick. She had been sick. We had had her to the doctor, and it just, like, she had been sick for a week, and I'd taken her to the doctor that morning, and the doctor didn't seem to be concerned about it. And so I went to the ER that evening with her, and we weren't there long, and she had a seizure for about a minute and a half. And the doctor come in, he goes, there's something wrong. We're doing stat blood work. And ended up, she had the E. coli bacteria. There were 5 children in the county that ended up having it all at the same time. And they never did find a correlation of where it came from. But we got a quick ride across the mountain to UVA. And as the doctors began to look at, as the doctors kind of come around the bed and were running a lot of tests and asking a lot of questions. And I remember them having me stand on one side of her bed and the other side of the bed and talk to her. And finally the doctor comes in and sits down with us. My husband's family was there in the room. We had some friends in the room. And the doctor told us on the way from RMH to UVA, she had had a stroke and was partially paralyzed and blind. Her kidneys had failed. She didn't have enough plasma in her body to make a blood clot. They needed to put a dialysis shunt in. She looked like a pincushion, like she'd been sick for a week and had gained weight. And so they told us that she would need to have a transfusion of plasma before they could put the dialysis shunt in. So that was the first thing that needed to happen. They told us that we would be in the hospital probably about 3 weeks, and then we would be moving to a rehabilitation center to learn to deal with her disabilities. So that was a lot to take in. They left the room, and the room was silent. And I remember my mother-in-law breaking the silence, and she said, and I'll never forget, we need to gather around her bed and pray. And I absolutely lost it, because I thought, I haven't prayed for years. I've been told that I'm a sinner. God's not going to hear my prayer. Like, I've been told some things. And so all of these things are going through my mind, and I am just devastated because I don't believe that God will hear me if I pray. And so all of this and regret, and because I had the foundation of faith, I just wasn't living in it. Walking across the room to her bed and praying. I don't remember what I prayed, but I do remember that I prayed. I took that step of faith. I think that's important. I took that step of faith, and we gathered around her bed and prayed. And there were other people in the community that were praying for her, without a doubt. But that was the next few days. They were able to get the shunt in. Within short order, actually, that plasma was in. The next night, they did the plasma transfusion that night, and then the next day they were able to do the dialysis shunt. And within 48 hours, she had regained her sight and mobility. Wow. Like, all of it was back. And I think it was the third day, the nurse walked in the room and she said, I really feel like if we removed the dialysis shunt, that her kidneys would function. And I said, well, you know, if the doctor's up for it, I'm up for it. And so before I knew it, the dialysis shunt was out. And I have never been more happy in my life to change a wet diaper. That was such a miraculous moment. And every time we changed the diaper, we had to weigh them to make sure that she was having the right outputs. And there was such joy in that. But in that, it was just all happening so quickly. And you don't see the bigger picture. And 5 days later, we were home, and the only thing that was wrong with her was she was a little bit anemic. So they told us that she would have to come back to the hospital the rest of her life. Once a year, probably around puberty, she would need to have a kidney transplant because of damage. So, okay. So we're showing up year after year. And when she was about 10, we were there seeing the doctor. And the doctor said, you know, really? She has no kidney damage. There's no damage to her kidneys. And I looked at the doctor and I said, when God performs a miracle, he doesn't need rechecks, right? And so they released her at that point. But as I began to look at in the days after that initial in the hospital, seeing a miracle happening before my eyes, I couldn't believe that God would perform a miracle for a sinner like me. It's the way he got my attention.
Right.
It was his testimony in my life. You know, it was him working in my life before I ever said yes to
him. Prevenient grace.
Yes, he was pursuing me through he can work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I didn't know I was called, but he was already convincing me. You know, a lot of times we talk about how the Holy Spirit convicts.
Right.
He was convincing me. There was some things he was convicting me of too, but he was convincing me of his goodness in my life before I said yes to him. I couldn't deny that that happened. Yeah. It wasn't a story somebody else told me. It was happening to my own life. And so, yeah, I'm forever grateful for that began the journey for me to accept Christ. And it didn't happen for another 15, 16 months, but it happened.
Yeah. You know, he's patient. He's patient with us, and he loves us that much that he's willing to wait. And looking back, a lot of times we might not think about it in the moments, but and even as you were talking about, you know, what brought us to the table. Well, I know my freshman year of college, like, I was studying broadcasting, but I thought I'd be in the secular world, you know, doing sports or whatever. That's because that's why I got into it. But even when God spoke clearly, and like, I had youth ministry listed as my minor, because I'm like, well, if God does to me what he did to Dad and call him out of photography to go to Bible college, I'll have this.
Yeah.
When God spoke to me spring of my freshman year during like an annual fundraiser for the campus radio station, which was also a community radio station, he said, this is ministry. Well, the funny thing is, I didn't even know, even though that's the clearest he's ever spoken to me, I didn't even know on that day. I figured he meant I'd be ministering to the people in the secular world who are lost. I didn't realize he'd bring me back to the church to minister, you know, through this avenue. And so, like, I even changed, like, I dropped the youth ministry minor and picked something else up, and just because I felt like that was my safety blanket,
so to speak. Yeah.
Which is funny. Now I'm volunteering in youth ministries and been doing that for 15 years.
That's what I was thinking. You're using that too. Yeah, I say it a lot of times. I know it probably is, gets old, but if we look back through our lives, there's that thread that we can pull to see how we've gotten to where we are. And God is faithful in that. Like, we can look back, and there are throughout scripture in the Old Testament, the Israelites put up stones of remembrance.
Right.
They didn't want to forget these things. And it was kind of like you and I sitting here the other day talking to Larry. And it was like we had this moment of this pile of stones of remembrance in our lives that we hadn't really talked about for a while. And so it's encouraging. It encourages me today. My hopes, and I think the reason we're sharing this is to remind those that are listening today to remember the stones of remembrance in your all's lives too. Like, remember that God is working, and we have these moments that we have this clarity that we know that we know that we know that God did this for us. And then we can get into a season in our life where we're not seeing him work like he did in that back then.
Right.
But it doesn't mean he's not working.
Right. And, you know, when we were talking to Larry, he was sharing his testimony, and that's what brought, by him sharing his testimony, that's what brought these memories back to us of things that God had done in our lives. And that's what happens when we share our testimony.
That's right. That's right. And that happened in July. Olivia was born in January, and she was 5 weeks old, and she ended up in UVA with supraventricular tachycardia. And we wouldn't have known that she had that had she not been in for RSV. And, you know, I asked the doctor, I said, if we had not been here and realized that her heart was beating 312 times a minute, would she have been sudden infant death syndrome? And she said, there's a good possibility. And so these are the things, like, again, I go, wait a minute, this was a gift to be here so that this could be dealt with. And yes, we're back in UVA again, but I look today and I see our girls that are in ministry.
Yeah.
And you're in ministry. And these are the things the enemy honestly wants to take us
right.
out, right?
Yeah. Like,
but God, and it's that simple, but God, he intervenes. And I know that every story doesn't turn out this way. And I know that that's a lot of times people will come on the program and go, well, I know that not everyone's story turns out like this.
Right.
And, you know, you have consequences to God healed you.
Right.
But there's still,
yeah.
you have some things that you still deal with, like we all do. But it's our story.
Right.
You know, it's, and it is hard because not every story has ended with a healing. So my heart goes out to those today that have not had that experience. And not every story in our lives has been perfect
right,
either.
Right.
That's just, you know, where we have seen God show up in miraculous ways. But right. it doesn't mean that everything has been smooth sailing
right.
for either one of us. Like, right. we have trials that we face. So,
and just know, if you're facing trials, I think of the clip from The Chosen where little James, he's telling him he's going to go out and heal people. And he's like, I'm not healed. And he's like, you know, what a great story it would be if I healed you. But even better story that you're not healed, but you're still being a witness. You're still. Mm-hmm. And so that just speaks to me. So if you're suffering today, know that maybe God's entrusting you. It's not easy, but just know that he's entrusting you with that to be a witness despite the suffering, despite the thorn in the flesh, whatever it might be.
Yeah, that's a very good perspective, because we all have our cross to bear, so to speak, as believers, and our life isn't perfect. And these are two places where we can see, pinpoint where God showed up.
Right.
But that we don't, not everything is a fairy tale, right?
Right.
And so, but these are the places that we can pinpoint. Also, in the hardships, he's shown up for us too.
Right.
I love, in the Old Testament, there's a story of Moses, and he asked to see God face to face. And God says, I can't do that.
Right.
But after I pass by, you can see me from behind. And when we are in the hardships of our life, it's really hard to see God. And from that scripture, it helps me to understand, just because we can't see God doesn't mean he's not there.
Right.
We know he's with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And it's almost like he is so a part of what's happening that we can't see it. But when we get at a distance, we can look right. back in our life and go, oh, he was there. He right. carried me through that. And that becomes a part of our story too.
Right.
In the good and the bad, he shows up and will bring us the peace that we need.
Right.
He'll bring us healing. He, no matter what our story.
Right.
Today, I want to say, wherever you're at, on a mountaintop or a valley, that God sees you and he cares
right.
more than we can ever imagine.
Right. Amen. Amen. And when nothing's happening, something's happening.
That's true.
Well, thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as Pastor Margaret and I today have shared testimonies from our life and how God's impacted our lives and the people in our lives, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.